Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'm mad at the way she loves me, and I'm mad at the way she cares. I'm mad at the way she touched me, at the way that she combed my hair. I'd be lying if I said I didn't mean a thing. I'd be lying if I said I didn't care. I'd be lying if I said I didn't love her. I'm still here. I'm mad at the way she loves me, and I'm mad at the time we spent. I'm mad about our conversation. Damn, I'm mad about everything. I'd be lying if I said I didn't mean a thing. I'd be lying if I said I didn't care.
Alafia, greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Care to Bleed Room. You've got your Omi Inka live coming to you straight from my studio. And I'd like to say Habari Ghani to my old friends and what's up to my new friends. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are still in the mode of trying to transition into new things. This is a new month, ladies and gentlemen. And because we're still waiting for the 21st of December, we're going to be watching that date. But nevertheless, we had to transition into a new topic. Our new topic is seeking relief of victims to foreclosure. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You probably know someone who's currently going through foreclosure or someone who has already gone through foreclosure. And if you haven't met anyone, I'm sure you will soon meet someone, because this month's topic is on helping those victims to find out that there is relief. And currently we're working on a deadline date for those people who might feel that they are victims or have been victimized by the crisis of the 16 banks. And if they have been victimized, there is some recourse. They're calling all those people to file paperwork requesting a review, a financial review of their mortgage if they think they might have been mis- or improperly handled and misconduct may have transpired. If those people who have had homes and lost their homes and are now out of their homes, there is some recourse, and we're going to talk about the recourse. We're going to also talk about how you get financial repair of your credit report. How do you remove damaging items on your credit score? And can you act as a pro se candidate where you represent yourself in a court of law? And if so, might you want to represent yourself in a pro se bankruptcy, or should you get a lawyer? And what's the difference between a Chapter 7 bankruptcy and a Chapter 13 bankruptcy? We're going to be distinguishing between those two. And if you think you are victimized, how do you get relief? And what type of relief is out there for you? Is it only making homes affordable, or are there programs out there now that these new people have discovered from this lawsuit that there are recourses? There are several recourses, ladies and gentlemen. Some of us are not reading, we're not going online, and we don't know about these recourses. They are calling people back right now. If their homes have been foreclosed on, they have recourse to receive funding from their banks if they were one of the 16 banks. The banks are now participating in answering this settlement. They are bound by law to follow through on the new negotiation. Now, there are victims. There are victims out there who don't even know that they've been victimized. Well, you don't have to be victimized anymore. Now, you don't have to deputize yourself and try to pretend like you're a lawyer. You must remember that you are acting in the role of a pro se person if you are going to try to reorganize your debt and to try to eliminate false things on your credit report. Now, I'm not a credit counselor, and I don't profess to be. But we're going to have this conversation today because all of us have input. So why don't you lock that dial in, ladies and gentlemen, at 646-478-0270. And stay tuned. I have a guest out in the audience, and I'd like to welcome her to the Care to Read Room. Stay tuned. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere, and we'll be up with, front with you and close and comfortable. Stay tuned. Here. I am your Empress, and I am your Maliwa. I am here to serve you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, our new topic for this month is seeking relief of victims to foreclosure. How do we get relief for those people? We're going to find that out in just a minute. We have a guest in the audience that's joining us today, and that's Mrs. Maddie Harvey, one of our tribal crew who has come back to join us today. We'd like to say hello to her. And she's out in the audience waiting patiently. Hello, Mrs. Harvey.
Hello, how are you?
Just
it's
fine.
A pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you this evening.
Well, we're talking about a topic that might be near and dear to you, Mrs. Harvey. We're talking about a topic of seeking a solution for victims. But before we start in on that, we want to thank our higher selves, which is our creator, and we want to offer up libation. And I want to ask you, do I have permission to speak today?
Yes, you do have permission to speak today, by all means.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go over to the throne of grace with me as we get prepared to pour libation. First of all, I want to offer libations up to my higher self, which is Ola Dulamare, and I say, Ashe. I offer libation to my father spirit, and my father spirit being Obatala, and I say, Ashe to Obatala. Ashe. I offer up libations to my mother spirit, and I say, Ashe.
Ashe.
And as we call on the forces to be, today we call our ancestors into being, and we're going to meditate on their goodness today. And if you will silence yourself for just a moment, I will synchronize my vital signs with yours as you synchronize yours with me, and as we meditate and permeate on the goodness of our ancestors. Thank you for meditating with us. We call on Sheikh S. Diop. We call on Dr. John Henry Clark. We call on the name of Dr. Carruthers. We call on Nina Simone, Harriet Tubman. We call on Dr. Martin Luther King and Sweet Coretta King. And we ask them to lift us high where we belong, on their shoulders. We ask them to carry us through the storm as we weather the storm today. And we talk about victims who've been victimized, who no longer want to be victimized, and who will stand up and fight for what's theirs. Let them realize that their livelihood is having ownership in property, and it is a reasonable service to be able to gain their property back. And the final solution for those who have been preyed upon. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, on thee do I wait and on thee do I receive for help. Ladies and gentlemen, because Mrs. Harvey is in the room today, we're going to recite our national black anthem. And I'd like for you to recite that with me. And if you pause for a minute as I get that pledge so that we can remember, we have to acknowledge our rituals. Thank you for listening with me and holding on. Now, our national flag and our anthem is very important, and we do this from time to time. However, our pledge is one that we have to remember that the UNIA created this pledge for us, and we have to remember what it says. Because if you don't, we'll be careful to want to know, what does it mean exactly? What does it mean? Okay. Let me see here. And our Black National Anthem hasn't been used in such a while. We have to get this Black National Anthem out. All right. All right. I tell you what. We're going to do just lift every voice and sing. Oh, okay. Here we go. Here we go. Here's to this flag of mine, the red, black, and green. Hope's in its future bright, Africa has seen. Here's to the red of it, creation, great nations shall know of it in time to come. Red, black shall flow of it. Historians shall write of it. Great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 years aback of it, whose destiny depends on it, the red, black, and green of it. Excuse me, old flag of mine. Here's to the green of it. Young men shall sing of it. Faces shot and shelled of it. Maidens shall sing of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it. Colors brought in pole of it. Please, if my soul was it. Regardless of what is told of it. Now thanks to God for giving it this great flag of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to recite that pledge to your children from time to time. That's one that we've recited routinely in this room. It is very important that we stay close to our traditions and to our heritage. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go right back to the phone lines. We have Mrs. Harvey here. And our topic for this evening is seeking relief of victims to foreclosure. First of all, I want to do a little defining. And we talked about what is the difference between a Chapter 13 bankruptcy and a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. First of all, I'd like it to be noted for the record that no one in this classroom is a member of the bar. We are not lawyers in this room. We are merely reciting documentation for pro se purposes. And our views and expressions do not necessarily express those of Blog Talk nor Project 2019. These are the views of the tribe. I'd like to state that for the record. We are not lawyers. We are talking through the eyes of a pro se petitioner. I am a pro se petitioner. I am also a paralegal, which does not make me a member of the bar, so I cannot advise anyone in this room on the laws. We can talk about credit repair, and we can talk about what options are available. I merely prepare documents for people. I do not give the letter of the law, nor decipher the letters of the law, and giving you an explanation for the laws. You will have to seek out an attorney for that. Let it be known for the record this day, henceforth and forward. Once again, we're talking about what is the difference between bankruptcy Chapter 13 and bankruptcy Chapter 7. Now, I'm going to give you a little definition. It's going to be a very brief one because I'm not interpreting the law. I do know that when you are about to make this decision, you have to definitely research and find out which will benefit you and under what circumstances are you filing these chapters and what are you trying to accomplish. Let me give you a hypothetical situation. When you're looking to prevent a foreclosure in a home and you want to stop a foreclosure in a home, one of the ways or the most two ways that you can prevent and slow down the process of a foreclosure is one particular chapter, and the other way will stop the foreclosure completely. The first one in the bankruptcy 7 can prolong the foreclosure, but not necessarily stop it eventually. Once the courts get the information, they can temporarily stop it for 30 days, but they can reinstate it after the 30 days with a Chapter 7. However, a Chapter 7 is one where all your debts are wiped out and they're dismissed. Your secured creditors are dismissed. Whereas with a Chapter 13, you are not wiping all your debts out. You are reorganizing your debts and getting relief on some of those secured creditors and medical bills, meaning that you must have a plan and a job and plan to continue paying those debts and making the arrearage payments as well as the current payments. Now, you will receive some relief on some of the creditors that are secured. However, your home can also go into a Chapter 13 if you want to keep that home and you want to clear up the arrearage outstanding amount. You must set up a payment plan and an outline plan upon completing your organization of your debt. A lot of people are not familiar with the Chapter 13 and don't realize that Chapter 13 can be dismissed long before Chapter 7 A Chapter 7 is 10 years on your credit report, whereas a Chapter 13 could be approximately 7 years on your credit report, meaning that it could do the less damage to your credit report overall. When you still plan to pay some of your debtors, you're just reorganizing your debt and getting relief on those medical and secured debts. They're the last to get paid. Your main debts are for your home and for vehicles. And if you have cars that are not repossessed, you can do one of two things. You can surrender those vehicles and give them back and no longer owe for them, or you can make the decision to go ahead and put them in your reorganization. Now, this is a part of credit repair. We're not talking about doing a bankruptcy for you. These are all the things that you would discuss with a pro se agent or pro se petitioner who might be putting your documentation together. You must let them know which one do you choose. Do you choose a bankruptcy Chapter 7 or do you choose a bankruptcy Chapter 13? And you tell them this because they must set up for you a payment plan that you will outline after you have included all of your debt. These are things that you need to research now, ladies and gentlemen, and start doing it early, because I'm sure that there'll be someone in your family that will need this credit relief and a credit relief repair instruction. There is a prerequisite, however. There must be a means test done, and there also must be a pre-counseling class that you go through to learn about how to structure your debt so that you don't find yourself in a situation again where you have not tended to going on a budget. This will show you how to budget for a better type of financial relief and put you back in right standing. At the end of your bankruptcy completion, there is a post-exiting counseling session that you must also do. And these classes can be taken online with a live instructor, or they can be taken over the phone, whichever you choose. There is a fee, of course. They ask for a fee for you to pay for these classes, somewhere between $5, $25. However, if your income and your status and situation calls for you to request for a waiver, you can request for a waiver for debt. So it's very important that you should know that. Now that I've given you that instruction, I wanted you to have that plain and clear. We're going to go to the phone lines. Now we're going to be switching gears a little bit, no longer talking a lot about definition. I wanted that clear. But there's been some people who become victimized, and they've been victimized by the foreclosures. Why do you think they got into foreclosure? And who victimized them? Let me put this out there. During the 2000 year, we had a large portion of people who bought property who were not eligible to get into these ARMs and adjustable. However, nevertheless, the bank did prioritize the fact that they wanted to sell homes. That was their main goal. They did not look at the ratio, the debt-to-income ratio, whether or not the person could afford the home. And usually the person didn't have enough income to the debt ratio. Nevertheless, those people were put into homes with an adjustable arm that was due to adjust. And when they were put into these homes, knowingly that eventually that these people would be upside down on their mortgage, meaning they would be underwater, owing more on the house than the house is worth. So a number of these people were victimized, and they were targeted, and they were given these loans knowing that eventually they would have to foreclosure or be forced to foreclose on, meaning that the banks will go after them for foreclosure, and the homes will go back to the bank, and the banks will sell them for pennies on a dollar, meaning that these people in return would be losing their property to the bank. Now, was it to the benefit of the bank to do this? Yes, it was, because they could actually sell these houses for pennies on a dollar and make that money back. Somebody, a group of people, decided to file a lawsuit and come against these 16 banks. And I won't name their names, But these 16 banks were called on this issue, brought into court, and there was a proceeding. And a proceeding went forward, and they found them guilty, and there had to be a settlement. And when they had the settlement, the courts ruled that they must, every one of these banks, offer these people who were victimized in a foreclosure or who did not finish up their modification or who never went into a short sale with a HOFA, or those who had to give their homes up through deed in lieu of, now they have the right to go back and to exercise their rights to a deed in lieu of or to a HOFA short sale. Also, the new law indicated that if their homes were sold in foreclosure, they can get a refund on the foreclosure where they gave a loan back to these people. They actually gave a lump sum of money back to these people after they lost their homes. Excuse me. Most people don't even know about this. It's quietly being done. There is a deadline right now to have your mortgage reviewed. It was in the Jet magazine. For those who don't read and do read the Jet, you can go pick up one of the Jet magazines and find the information right in the Jet magazine that they want to review your mortgages to find out if there was any foul play or if you were damaged. And if you were damaged, there's some recourse that you have. You might even want to seek an attorney out quickly as you can, one that has knowledge on foreclosure, one that has knowledge on bankruptcy so that they can properly advise you. Do not take it from me or anyone else. If you are going through a foreclosure now, this is a serious matter. Don't just let the auction happen. Go over and talk to a lawyer and ask them to try to save your home. Do what you have to do to prevent from going into foreclosure. There are many tons of houses piled up on houses that are in foreclosure now because most people don't know what to do. This is an educating classroom, and this is where we help you. I'm going to the phone lines now, and I'm going to get Mrs. Harvey's input on this. And she has a story to tell, too. She's quite familiar with homes. She's a homeowner, has owned several homes over the course of her life, and has sold several homes. And I want to ask her, Mrs. Harvey, can you tell us a little bit about your experience in being a homeowner and what you know to be truth?
Well, I can tell you that in due time past, I almost lost one of my homes because I had lost my job. I didn't have but a little bit of income coming in, and it was hard for me to make the mortgage payment on it. And what I did is I went to a company and got a loan, and that's the only thing that saved my home. But I didn't know what I know now about how to save your home when you get into problems like that, because times are very hard now. People have lost their jobs, people are laid off, and people need help. And I'm sure that you can tell people what to do and how to do it, what to do about saving their home, because at the time when I was going through with this, with my home, they didn't have nothing like this existed. So I had to suffer the consequences. But it's a blessing to know that you're here to give information to people and how to save their homes. And I thank God for you for being here to help people like me and others. So I would like for you to continue to tell us how we can save our home from being going into foreclosure.
Well, I will say this, Ms. Harvey. I am not an attorney. I am merely a pro se petitioner preparer, meaning that I cannot call myself an attorney, or can I say that I am a member of the bar. I'm a mere paralegal who's been trained in these administrative skills for typing and making and creating a preparation. And the most I can do is offer credit relief and credit counseling. As a credit counselor in that area, I can offer assistance in credit counseling. And being a preparer, I can show you how to become a pro se person where you are actually making the decision on your own bankruptcies or foreclosures, and you're making the decisions which one you want to go with, because you ultimately have to file for your own discharge of your bankruptcy. I cannot get involved with that, but I will say this much. There's a lot of damaged people out there right now who don't know that they have recourse. And as much as they've been printing this information in magazines and on the Internet, there's still a great portion of us who don't read and who probably are not capable of reading beyond sixth grade level. And this information is not just jargon. It is very detailed, and you must have a trained eye to understand what they are telling you about your rights. And it's a little confusing where now they've got the banks trying to rectify the problem when they were the problem and they're supposed to offer you relief now. They should have a third-party person in the middle as the wheel who have no interest and they're neutral to do the rectifying of the problem. Unfortunately, they're asking you to go back to the banks, the ones that initially did the damage, and people are a little leery about that. So they don't believe that it's true. They believe that somebody might be lying to them and telling them that they could go back and get this help. So that's why people are not seeking the help, because they think it's a lie coming from their banks. They think the banks are trying to trick them. And I, for one, indicated to some of these agents that you must make these people understand that the banks are compelled by law to respond to these victims who've been damaged. And I want to say you are a victim. Whether you know it or not, you are a victim if you've been forced to go and leave your home. Now, when they came up with the modification, I would like to speak on the modification. Making Homes Affordable was an excellent program. It was a dream come true. Making Homes Affordable was to work and assist those people who lost their jobs. And if they were in the arrearage with their outstanding mortgage payment, they could assist you and come in and pay a certain amount of your back arrearage. However, the question is, would the bank take the arrearage? In most cases, if it didn't cover the full amount of your outstanding debt, the bank could refuse that money. And therefore, all of the trouble you went through in getting qualified for Making Homes Affordable, the money would go right back to the program, and you would be denied the opportunity to use those funds. That, in my opinion, did not make sense. Whatever amount of money you were willing to pay for the arrearage, they should have accepted it. However, that is not my program, and I can't make the decisions on it. But that program was designed for that purpose. Then not only the Making Homes Affordable, but the government came up with a modification called the HAFA. The HAFA program is much different than a short sale. Let me say short sale than modification. The HAFA short sale was set up to engage the tenant in the possibilities that when the house is sold and whatever offer they could get on the house, they would be guaranteed that they still would have relocation fees to go back and reestablish themselves. Initially, it was $3,000 for relocation fees for those families to go out and relocate themselves and find a home. Here recently, they've increased that to $5,000. Whether or not they're honoring the $5,000, I don't know. But initially, it was $3,000. And they were also wiping the debt clean from your credit report, so you did not have that excess amount that the house wasn't sold from hanging over your head. I don't know too many people that eventually got the HAFA or qualified for it, but it was out there in writing. Whether or not it was exercised and used, that's a different thing. Now, then there was the option, if you could not sell your house in a short sale, there was a deed in lieu, and that deed in lieu would mean that you'd have to give the house over and you would surrender the keys, and the debt would go on your credit. Now, here recently, most of this debt was going on these candidates' credit, and the banks were getting relief, and they were able to write off the debt. But this large amount was being held on these victims' credit report. So there's a lot going on here that is really a problem and that a lawyer needs to step in to talk about. We're not going to solve all of this in one night, but we're certainly going to round up some people to call in to discuss this because everyone has this at the seat of their conversations because their family, their loved ones, or someone is going through this now. And I know it's happened in our family, and there's family members that we're seeking to help now who might be eligible for relief. And if you're out there and you're eligible for relief, I want you to call in this week, during the week that we're discussing this, to get some help. And we're going to try to open up the phone line tomorrow so we can bring in some expertise on this. I'm going to go back to the phone lines and get Mrs. Harvey's opinion about where do you think the people should go from here and how do we try to save the people and give them a little faith in what little bit of knowledge that we have here to give on this show.
Well, first of all, I think they could call in and talk to you. And secondly, I think they should talk to a lawyer because they do have a little time to call a lawyer and get the advice, and I'm sure he can give them the sense of direction and where to go and what to do to save their homes because there's too many people out of work and it's not working and cannot make the payment like they should, but they do qualify for some help, and there is help out there for them, and their home can be saved.
Well, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are upside down in their houses and they're underwater right now. And as we sit here and talk, they are drowning. And I know they're drowning in this situation. And in our family, we've owned many homes, and we've been able to put people in those homes to secure them. And these houses that are laid up now, people are walking the streets with nowhere to go. And it's a shame that they should be homeless and their homes that are sitting there rotting out and no one is maintaining them. And somewhere along the line, this is where the end time comes. And I brought this conversation up specifically because as we come to the end of our rope and our old dispensation transitions out, we're coming into a new whole life of wastefulness and new homes, and we're looking at different ways of housing people. And life is going to change as we know it. And we're going to have to understand that a home now does not appear to be the same thing. Having an IRA, having a bank account, having stock, all those things are not secure savings anymore. And our equity in our home is definitely not because people have lost equity in their home. They have lost escrow money, and a large portion of them are looking at where is my life savings when I put all the equity I had within my home. You cannot secure equity in your home anymore. Homes that used to sell for $500,000 are selling for $250,000 now. Homes that were once $100,000 are selling for $50,000. So your equity is lost. It is gone. So now we must look at other solutions, and we're going to find out about those solutions as we get upfront and personal with you the rest of this week. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.